We are holding on Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, second line. Okay, continuing on this topic of karpif, of an area that was of an area that's enclosed, but it's not enclosed l'shem dira, and therefore you can't carry in it if it's larger than base sasayim, more larger than this 5,000 square amos that we were just talking about, then you're not able to carry in it. Then it's like a chimerus, you can't carry in it more than 4 amos. On the other hand, we said if it's less than base sasayim, then you're good. And if it's hukaf l'dira, if it was enclosed for the purpose of living space, then you're allowed to carry in it no matter how large it is. So now we're going to be dealing with, so now when we get down to it, when you have a karpif like that, which is larger than base sasayim, you have two possibilities what you can do in order to make it that you can be able to carry in it. One way would be that you reduce the area of it to below base sasayim, and the other way would be that you make it hukaf ladira. So we already discussed some ways of the second thing, how you would make it hukaf ladira. For example, we have the concept where you can make a breach in the wall wider than 10 amas and then fence it in, or even 1 amma at a time, as we said, and then that way it works, because now you've made, in effect, a new enclosure that's ladira. We talked about yesterday in connection with the whole case over there involving the rachva, the open area that was open to a mavri at one end and to a path through vineyards in the other, and what we do in order to make it to be able to be mutter in that area, where in that particular case we said in the end that you put a lechi at one end of the mavri, and that counts for the rachva as well. So now we're going to be talking also some of the things we're talking about over here in our Gemara are going to be to, in effect, reduce the area below base sasayim so that you don't have a problem carrying there. And others are going to be in order to make that area still more than base sasayim into a place which is hukaf ladira, which was enclosed for the purpose of using as regular living space, and therefore also you'll be mutter to carry in it. So the Gemara starts off, karpif yosim base sasayim shalei hukaf ladira. So if you have this karpif, it's more than base sasayim, it was not enclosed ladira, so far you wouldn't be able to carry in it. So now what you want to do is you want to reduce the area of it in order to be able to carry in it. So what happens, you're going to figure, mieter bi'ilonos. So you're going to figure, okay, I'll plant a bunch of trees in it. The trunks of the trees are going to take up a certain amount of space. You might even have the branches of the trees hang down and form a space under them either. We learned in the first perek about a case like that, for example, where you have the branches of the trees hang down to within 3 tefachim of the ground, and you're allowed to carry under the tree. So the din is, no, loy havin miot, that doesn't help to make it less. The area is still considered more than base sasayim, because it's very common for a karpif to have trees in it. So the fact that you have trees in it is not mevatel any of the area. On the other hand, bonaboy omud gavoya sort of a roch of dalid. On the other hand, if you built in the middle of this area a pillar which is at least 10 tefachim tall and at least 4x4 tefachim, have a miut, then it does count as a miut, because that pillar has no particular function in a karpif. So therefore, now, in effect, what you have is you've created a smaller area within that karpif, and you subtract that area now from the area, from the total area of the karpif. So let's say, for example, now, you know, remember, base sasayim is 5,000 square amos. So let's say, for example, the area was 5,010 square amos. So you built this pillar in there, which is at least 4x4 tefachim. 4x4 tefachim is 16 square tefachim. So good, as long as it's 10 tefachim tall, then now you have we ignore that. That space does not count towards the 5,000 amos. You've got 16 square, that's square tefachim actually I'm talking about, but okay, whatever. So then you build it 4x4 amos, let's say. Or you build it 3x4 amos, whatever. It's more than 4 tefachim in each dimension. So therefore, what you have is you've reduced it now by 15 or 16 or whatever it is, square amos. Good, now you're below 5,000, so therefore you're good. Rashi mentions that's a filo be'emtza, even if you built this pillar in the middle of the karpif. In other words, if you build it by the side, closer to one wall, then it's less of a chiddush, because then you could say, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that amounts to making the wall thicker and reducing the space. But even if it's in the middle, you could argue, so what? So you're going to use it when you're using the karpif, you can still use it to put things on. No, it's still, because it's 10 tefachim tall, and such a thing is not usually used in the middle of a karpif, then therefore it reduces the area. On the other hand, pochas migdimol. On the other hand, if this pillar is less than 3 by 3 tefachim, loy have a miut, then it does not count as a miut. Remember to. I'm taping it from before, but I have to remember beforehand to put my phone on Do Not Disturb so I don't get text notifications in the middle. Okay. So if it's less than 3 by 3, it doesn't count as a miut. So meaning, in other words, so let's say, for example, let's say the area was 5,010 square amas, let's say. So you built a thing in there which is less than 3 tefachim wide in one dimension, and let's say it's 20 amas long in the other dimension, let's say. Actually, that's not a good example, because we're going to talk about soon if you build a wall next to one of the other walls or whatever. The point is, let's say it was slightly above 5,000, so now a piece less than 3 by 3 is going to be enough to bring it below 5,000, but still, that doesn't work. Less than 3 by 3, we don't count it. It's considered as though it wasn't there. Migimel v'adalad. What if your thing that you built was between 3 and 4 tefachim wide? Then we have a machlokas. Rabba ama having miut, but Rava ama loy having miut. Rabba says that will count as a miut because it's more than 3, and Rava says not because it's less than 4. Rabba ama having miut don nafikli maturus lovud, because Rabba will say, look, 3 tefachim is already no longer lovud, so therefore after 3 tefachim we can already consider it to be something significant. So therefore, it can be mamayit. Rava amar loy have a miut, kiven to loy have a makam dalad, because since it's not an area of 4 by 4, loy choshiv, then it's not considered important, because we know in Hilchas Shabbos, in general, you need 4 tefachim for an area to have any kind of significance. We have, for example, Rosh Hashanah Abim has to be at least 4 by 4, a Karmelis has to be at least 4 by 4, So less than 4 tefachim, when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, is not, Rava says, is not really considered significant. We did have a machlokas Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, where the lovewood is up to 3 or 4. Here we're not talking within that. We know the halacha is like the Chachamim, that lovewood's only up to 3. Within the opinion of the Chachamim, though, Rava says, that's all very nice. Lovewood is up to 3. But here we're not really talking, it's not so much a matter of lovewood, it's a matter of to make it a makam choshuv. Not really a reshus of its own, but to make it at least a makam choshuv, an important area. So therefore it has to be at least 4 by 4, right? Okay. The halacha there, almost most of the Rishonim Paskin like Rabba. There is a general rule that when up to the time of Rava and Abaye themselves, when we have a machlokas between a Rav and a Talmud, usually the halacha is like the Rebbe. And over here, Rabba was one of Rava's Rebbes. So therefore, the halacha is like him. Okay. So that's okay. Another case, hirchik min hakoysel dalid. What happens if you went at least 4 tefachim away from the wall, but also mechitza, and you made a mechitza? Now here we're not talking about to reduce the area. Here we're talking about one of the things where you're trying to make it hukaf ladira. So what you did is, you have the 4 walls of this karpif to begin with. Now what you do is, you're building another wall next to one of the walls that was there, but not right next to, but at least 4 tefachim away from it. So you went at least, they don't seem to have a picture of that per se over here. They only have a picture as far as the tail, which we're going to talk about later. But let's say it's easy enough to imagine. You have the wall of the thing. The walls of the karpif are this. You went within. You moved 4 tefachim away from the one of the walls and built a wall and built a wall running along the length of the karpif. So it's out. It's more than 4 tefachim away from the closest wall next to it. So then, Rabba Amar Hoyel, Rava Amar Enimoyel. I skipped the line. So hilchik min hakoysel dalad va'asim mechitza hoyel. Also, so now the point is, we have to realize in our Gemara over here, whenever we say about something having miut or loy having miut, we're talking about not the question of making it hukaf ledira. We're talking about the question of making it below 5,000 square amas. As opposed to when we say hoyel or loy hoyel, we're talking in terms of making it hukaf ledira. So now the question is, does this new wall make it hukaf ledira? So if it's more than 4 tefachim away from the nearby wall, then yes, that works. Pochas migimel loy hoyel. Again, if you have the new wall within 3 tefachim of the old one, then it does not work. Because again, because that new wall is enclosing an area of less than 3 tefachim. And again, in effect, it's lovewood, therefore. Making the wall thicker, actually, we're going to talk in a second, may work. But here what you have is, it's even worse than making the wall thicker, because it's not attached to the wall, and it's not enclosing an area that has any chashivus of its own. So therefore, so it doesn't help, and you still have, it's not considered hukaf ladira. Because now what you have is that new wall now it encloses or partially encloses an area which is a makom chashuv by itself. Because four tfachim is wide enough to be a makom chashuv, and therefore, so there's therefore what we have is that now you have, in effect, you've split your karpif into two areas, and one of them was hukaf ladira, and therefore the other one can follow it as well. In a certain sense, yeah. So that works. Rashi describes it. In effect, what you have is this mechitza counts as a new hekif. So therefore, what you have is the house is already there, open into it, and now you have the wall was put up, and that's hukaf ladira. That's pasach alosev hukaf. That's what we're talking about. So now, in effect, what you have is this new wall that you created is hukaf after the house was put up. Again, in other words, the scenario was that you had the karpif up. Later on, you decided that you want to make it into your backyard or something, and you want to open a door from your house into it. But now we need new walls. So one way is that we're building a new wall inside of it. By the way, you have a machlokas rishonim. How long does that wall have to be? According to the Ritva, it has to be the full length of the karpif. According to the Rosh, it doesn't. All it has to be is more than 10 amos wide. And the poskim paskim like the Rosh. So therefore, so you don't even need it to be the, so let's say the karpif is, you know, we said a base sasayim is a little more than 70 by 70. So let's say it's 80 by 80. You don't need a wall that's 80 full amos long. All you need is at some point a wall that's 10 amos long, someplace in there, more than four or more tfachim away from the nearest wall. No, because you have openings in it anyway, because think of it, it's the whole karpif is, let's say, 80 amos wide. You're building a wall that's only 10 amos wide, so you anyway have big spaces on the both sides of it. But that's fine, according to the Rosh, and that's the halacha, yeah. Again, pochas mi gimel, if you built this new wall within three tfachim of the old one, loy hoyel, then it didn't help to make the karpif hukaf ladira, because again, it's not even enclosing an area that's a makom choshev on its own. Mi gimel v'ad dalad. Again, if it's between three and four tfachim away, rabba oma hoyel, rava oma enimoyel. So again, we have the same machlokas as in the previous one. Rabba says it works, rava says it doesn't work. Rabba oma hoyel, doha nafik le metoras lovod. Again, rabba will say because it's not lovod anymore, rava oma enimoyel, kibin do le have a makam dabad, le choshev, the same thing because it's not enclosing an area of four tfachim, which is considered a makam choshev. So the same basic argument as in the previous one about the Amud, where there also the machlokas was, if it's between three and four tfachim wide, the same machlokas you have over here, if the new wall is between three and four tfachim away from the other wall. And again, the halacha is like rabbi in that. Rav Shimi Masni Lakula. Rav Shimi, or Rabbi Bar Shimi, it says on the bottom over here. Masni Lakula, he learned this machlokas Lakula. He learned that actually, if it's more than three tefachim wide, then both Rabbi and Rava, would agree that it's fine. The machlokas would be if it's within three tefachim of the wall. Yesh Omerim among the Rishonim that he's arguing on both of the machlokas, in both the one involving the pillar and the one involving the wall. Yesh Omerim that he's only arguing on the second one, that the pillar he would agree taka has to be according to everybody has to be more than lovewood. But over here it's not so much a matter of lovewood. It's a you could argue that once you have a wall, like you said, it's like making the wall thicker. In fact, which the Gemara is next going to talk about over here, and therefore that it might be fine. There is in fact a different understanding of somebody showing him that the Rav Shimi Masne Lekula is going on the next thing that the Gemara is going to say. That Rav Shimi Masne Lekula, and he learned that, as we're going to learn the next thing. Anyway, toch by t. So this question of whether Rav Shimi is saying about saying lakula. So Rashi says he's referring to both of them. The Ritva says he's referring only to the second one. The Ritva brings from his Rebbe, which is usually the Ritva's Rebbe is usually the Ra'ar of Aaron Alevi. that it's actually only referring to the second one. So the Omer, he would agree that if it's less than three, everybody agrees it's no good. But by the wall closer to or further away from the nearby wall, he would say that that both Rabbah and Rava agree that as long as it's three tefachim away, it's fine. Anyway, the halacha is that the halacha is like Rabbah according to the first lashon, that if the wall is more than three tefachim away from the other one, then it's good. Okay, doesn't have to be four, right? Okay, another case. Toch boitit. What happens if you smeared mud or mortar or whatever on the wall? The yochel lamed bifnei atzmai, and that mortar is strong enough to stand on its own, have a miut, then definitely it's considered a miut. So now, again, we're back to reducing the area below 5,000. So you have, again, let's say the area is 5,010. You put a thick layer of mortar on the wall, thick enough that even if there wasn't a wall there, that mortar would be strong enough to stand on its own. The total area of that, let's say, you know, you have a wall, let's say 80 amos long, and you have a wall, let's say 80 amos long, and you put a layer of mortar on it. Let's say the layer is a half amma thick along the whole surface of the wall. Good. Well, then you have 40 square amos over there, and you're below 5,000. That would be a lot of work, but that would work. What about if this layer of mortar is not thick enough to stand on its own? Is it considered a miut? Rabba Amar have a miut, Rava Amar loy have a miut. Rabba says even so it's considered a miut, Rava says that not. Rabba Amar have a miut hashta mihokoi, because Rabba says, look, after all, right now that is standing. I wouldn't stand if there was no wall. Doesn't matter. The fact is there is a wall, therefore it should count to reduce the area. Rava Amar loy have a miut. Because it can't stand on its own. So therefore Rava says it can't be considered anything. It can't be considered anything significant. That's fine, but nevertheless, Rava says that that's no good. Here you have a machlokas rishonim, who the halacha is like. The Rambam paskins like Rabba for the same reason as before, Rebbe against Talmud. Here, a number of the rishonim, the Rosh and some others, paskin like Rava over here. Because the logic is the same thing as we said, that another wall, that a second wall only helps if it's a certain distance from the first wall, otherwise it's not enclosing a significant enough area. Here, the same thing. In effect, it's one thing, fine, if it's thick enough to stand on its own, then fine. But if it's not even thick enough to stand on its own, then so they paskin like Rava that it wouldn't work. If you thickened it with wood, maybe not, actually. I mean, here we're talking about mortar. Maybe you could argue that mortar is kind of bottle to the wall, unless maybe it's thick enough to stand on its own. Maybe you're right. Maybe if you built an actual wooden partition over there, it would work. I don't know, actually. I'm not sure if they talk about that. Yeah, it's very possible. I don't know. It could just be because dibra tera koloshim ne'adam, kind of whatever, tera ala roiv to dab. Because typically, when you have a stone wall over there, typically, what are you going to smear on it as mortar? You're not usually going to put up a wooden fence. Now, it's a good question. I don't know. Okay. Another case like this. Now let's turn to a case where one side of the skarpif is delineated by a tell, by a mound of dirt. So up until now, we've been talking about that the skarpif is surrounded completely by man-made walls. Now let's talk about that one side of it is a mound of dirt. That was there before. So now what happens is, hirchuk min tell dalad v'osa mechitza. If you made a new fence four or more tefachim away from the end of the tel, Rashi describes again. The whole area was more than base sasayim. What you did is you still have after you put up the fence as well, you still have the newly enclosed area is still more than base sasayim, but now it's hukaf ladira because now you put up a new wall. So that definitely works. Hoyo. So that definitely is effective to make it now that it's hukaf ladira, and therefore you can carry in it no matter the size. So here, the picture is like this. You have this tail over here. Originally, you had the Kharpiv was the entire area with walls on three sides of it and a tail on the fourth side. Now you built a mechitza more than four or more tvachim away from the tail. So the total enclosed area front the rest of the Kharpiv is still now more than base sasayim. But that's okay because now you built a new wall, which is effective lahalacha. And therefore, it's considered that now the area is hukaf ladira. So that works. Pachas mi gimel, if it was less than three tfachim away from the edge of the tail, oy al sfasa tail, or another possibility, what if you built a wall directly on top of the tail itself? So you built a wall directly on top of that pile of dirt. So then you have a machlok. Rav Chista v'Rav Amnona. Chad ama hoyo v'chad ama loy hoyo. One says that it's effective and it makes it that now the area is again hukaf ladira, and the other one says that not. There's al sfasa tel over there. So he built a wall on top of that mound of dirt. So now it serves as a fourth wall for the Kharpiv. But the question basically comes down to, is that considered of is that mechitza? Have you accomplished anything by putting up that mechitza? The tail itself served as a mechitza before that, after all. So now, in effect, you build a mechitza on top of a mechitza. Does that help or not? So one says hoyo, and therefore it's all mutter, and the other one says loy hoyo, because in effect all you have is a mechitza on top of a mechitza. In other words, the same way as, for example, let's say it wasn't a tel, let's say it was a regular wall, and you just raised the height of the wall, then it would be the same. You'd have the same kind of thing. You know, does that help? I mean, what good does it do to raise the height of the wall? You had a wall there before; it was 10 tefachim tall. We talked about yesterday the Truma Sadeshin's idea of, let's say, you put a mound of dirt next to the wall in order to that now from the top of the mound to the top of the wall is less than 10 tefachim, and then you leave the dirt there for one Shabbos, and then you remove it after that. And the Truma Sadeshin argues maybe that could work, but that's because at least we would say, fine, for a period of time, the point would be that even once you remove the dirt, then now it's hukaf ladira, because now, in effect, you've created a new wall. But over there, what you have is, for a period of time, the point that Truma Sadeshin takes up over there, and Achronim take up based on what he's saying, is, do we say that the fact that you mevatel that dirt there for one Shabbos makes it that now it's considered that it was a valid bitul, and therefore that now in effect you have a new wall where before it wasn't 10 tefachim tall and now it is? Or do we say no, it would only be if you mevatel that dirt and you meant it to stay there permanently and you didn't? The whole point was you only wanted to leave it there for one Shabbos and then remove it. But the point is, at least over there, you have that there was, for a period of time, a wall, in effect, a wall less than 10 tefachim tall. Here, you don't even have that, because the tail itself is 10 tefachim tall already, or in a regular case where you build the wall taller, you had all this time a wall over there. Now, all you did is you built a mechitza on top of a mechitza. Is that effective? No, the fact that you're preventing more sunlight from coming in doesn't, no. But there is a consideration which the Gemara is going to take up over here, which, after all, you could have, conceivably, you could have the ground, the bottom part of the wall could sink in, and then all you're left with is the top wall. So we're going to discuss that point now. Okay, so again, so you built the new mechitza on top of the tail, or within three tefachim of it. So then you have machlokas whether it's hoyel or not. Now, which one said which? We just said Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna, one says hoyel, one says loy hoyel. So tistayim, de Rav Chista de Amahoyel. You can prove that Rav Chista would be the one who says that it actually works and that now this Kharpiv is considered hukaf ladira. De itmar, because we have a different discussion. Ha'oisim mechitza al gabi mechitza. In general, when it comes to this kind of thing, if you're making a mechitza on top of a mechitza, and it's relevant, it's relevant for this question of hukaf ladira. It's relevant for certain other areas in Hilchos Shabbos, which we're going to get to later in the Masechta. You have cases involving two chatzeres, for example, one next to the other, where you have a mechitza between them, and you raise up the mechitza. So does that work? So. No, that's what Ellie was saying, that maybe you're making less sunlight will get in. No, but it's not so much because we're making it a more comfortable place. The question is, you did build a mechitza. You did build something 10 tefachim or more tall, but it's on top of an existing mechitza. So you didn't gain anything. The fact is you had something which is considered a mechitza before in halach. You didn't change the area, exactly. So Rav Chista, Omer Rav Chista, b'Shabbos hoyo. So Rav Chista says, when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, it is effective. In a case like this, for example, you've now made it hukaf ledira. There was a perfectly good mechitza over there. It doesn't matter. Rav Chista says that works. But b'nichse ha'ger loikona. If you have a similar thing when it comes to nichse ha'ger, then it's not kaina. Now we have like this. We know that a ger shenis gaya kakotin shenoy ledomi, that a ger is considered like his old birth family he's not related to anymore. And by the way, that's true even if they themselves are nisgaya at the same time. La halacha, they're not considered married. They're not considered related to each other. So therefore, if this ger marries and has children, then good. His children will yaushin him. But if not, then he has nobody to yaushin him. So therefore, the din is, when he passes away, then his nechasim are free for the taking for any Yisrael. Now, you have a general kind of thing when you want to be machzik in property. So you can be koine land with kesef shtar or chazaka. Here, there's no kesef or shtar to pay to. So it has to be chazaka. And one kind of chazaka is where you build something or demolish something. So among the different ways of chazaka, or where you build or demolish something on the property. Another way, as we're going to discuss now briefly in the Gemara, is where you improve the land in some way. So now, in this case, so you had, let's say, the Nichsei Ager already had a mechitza there. You just added to the height of the mechitza. You added another 10 tefachim to it. So Rav Chista is saying that doesn't work because that's not considered a significant enough improvement. You had a perfectly good wall over there. Now you just added another one on top of it. But that doesn't help you anything. The fact that it prevents people from climbing in doesn't help. So in other words, if somebody else were to come and do something else, which is a proper chazaka in the land, then he's the one who's going to be koneh. So Rav Chista says, so there's a difference. When it comes to Shabbos, it works. When it comes to the Nichsei Ager, it doesn't work. But Rav Sheisha Sama... No, meaning, in other words, that it helps to make it hukaf ledira. This case that we're talking about over here now, where you had an area that was enclosed... No, in other words, not... No, we don't mean he did it on Shabbos. We mean regarding Hilchas Shabbos. We mean that... Because the fact is, by Shabbos, all you need is that it's hukaf ledira. By Shabbos, we don't care that there was a mechitza there before. All we care about, the same way as we said before, for example, you build a new wall inside the enclosure, and it helps. It's now considered hukaf ledira. The same thing over here. Even, okay, your new wall is on top of your old wall. Doesn't matter. The fact is, you still accomplished that before it wasn't hukaf ledira, and now it is. Says Rav Chista. Rav Sheshes Omar, after Shabbos, Rav Sheshes says, even as far as Hilchas Shabbos, it doesn't help. Okay. So therefore, yes, we can conclude that in the Machlokas of Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna, Rav Chista is the one who says that it works in this case where you built it on top of the tell, and Rav Hamnuna would say that it doesn't work. The cheshbon that it does help, again, is because all we need is hukaf ledira. All we need is that you put up something to you change the mechitza somehow, so that now, and now you, the fact is you changed it. Even though the mechitza was there before, right? Amar of Chista, umoyda lir of Sheshes, sheim osa mechitza ala tel shahoyo. Now, though, says Rav Chista, Rav Sheshes would actually agree with me in the first case that we were talking about, with the tell, that it actually is effective. In other words, Rav Chista is saying, don't think that Rav Sheshes, who says that mechitza al gabe mechitza for Shabbos is not effective, would agree with Rav Hamnuna in that machlokas. No, in that particular machlokas, Rav Sheshes would actually agree with me. My time, Shim Osim Chitza Ala Tel is a different machlokas. Let's say, for example, in that machlokas, then yes, it would be mechitza al gabe mechitza, and Rav Sheshes would say it's no good. But let's talk about a different scenario. Let's talk about where the area that's more than base sasayim is the top of the tel itself. So now let's say, in other words, so you have this area, you have a big mound of dirt or a big hill or whatever, which the surface area of it is more than base sasayim. You now want to put up walls around the tell, either around the bottom of it or on the top of it. And now you're going to have, before the top of it was just open, now you're going to actually have it's enclosed with walls. So Rav Chista is saying, Rav Sheshes will agree, that's not considered mechitzas al gabe mechitzas, and it will work. Not because before it wasn't tall enough, but because, one second, my time a hoyle of aver mechitzas hel yonas hudur, because now you've actually accomplished something useful. Because when it's one thing when you're in a Karpif, the walls already existed there. You're inside walls already, and your fourth wall was the tell, and now you're saying you're building a wall on top of it and on top of the tell, and Rav Sheshes is saying that's no good. And Rav Sheshes and Rav Hamnuna are saying that's no good. But if you want to use the tell itself as a place that you're going to use, like this before it had no walls, yes, as a matter of halacha, it's considered as if it had walls on the grounds of good asik, because we consider the sides of the tell as though they go up and form virtual walls, but the fact is you didn't have actual walls over there. Now you have actual walls that you built over there. So therefore it's effective. You've accomplished something useful and made that place hukaf ladira. Not so much you can use the top of the wall, but the point is now you're going to be able to carry around on that tail. So here's the tail over here. You have it's more than the tail itself. It's a pile of dirt. It's total more than 10 tefachim off the ground. The surface area of it is more than base sasayim. So the top of it we're talking about, yeah, is more than base sasayim. Yeah, okay. So it's a very large pile of dirt. I don't know. You have, you have, let's say, for example, you go to the landfills in Staten Island, for example. I think you can easily find a tell. That's yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that the fact that you, so now you could think of it like this. Up until now, that area was considered a Rishus HaYachid Daraisa because it has walls. It's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. So it's considered that it has walls of 10 tefachim. And of course, it's more than 4x4. So you would think then that having that putting mechitzas on top of it doesn't help because the fact is it's still mechitza al gabi mechitza. No, says Rav Chista, Rav Sheshes would agree that that's fine because you have accomplished something practical over here. You have made, before it was just open to the outside, now you have walls around it. So therefore that would be considered hukaf ladira now. So again, in the case where the tell is the fourth wall of the karpif, then Rav Sheshes is saying that putting a mechitza on top of it would not work because you haven't really accomplished anything before the karpif had four mechitzas, and now it also has four mechitzas, as opposed to when you're talking about using the top of the tell itself, if it's larger than base sasayim. Before you weren't within walls, you were only within virtual halachic walls, and now you're within real walls, so therefore Rav Sheshes would agree that that helps and you've accomplished something useful. Okay, fine. Boy Rabba Babachana. Nivlu mechitzas atachtonis v'al yonis kayomis mahu. What would happen if we say, like Rav Sheshes says, ein mechitza al gabi mechitza, and even Rav Chista, after all, is saying that it doesn't work by nichse ager, but what would happen if the bottom mechitza sank into the ground and all you have left is the top mechitzas? Now, how could that be? Rashi describes, you could have the ground over there is very soft, so the wall sinks into the ground, basically. It doesn't fall over, it doesn't collapse. You just have it sinks into the ground and all you have left now is the top part of the wall, which sticks out above ground. Yeah. You see it in the country? Okay, could be. Okay. Where they sink in, okay. Another example of that, actually, where Bederach Nes was the walls of Yericho. It says, you know, where the walls of Yericho, the Gemara we learned in Brachas, they were as thick as they were tall. They were very, very strongly fortified walls. So if they'd fallen over, it wouldn't have done any good. They'd still have just as big a pile of rubble to climb over as they would have the original wall. So therefore, the Eibishter made a Nes, and it sank into the ground, and therefore, they can just walk straight in. Yeah. Okay. So what would happen? Mahu. So what would be the din? So the Gemara asks, what's Rabbi Baba Chana asking? Lamai. Regarding what area of halacha is he asking the question? Il nichse ager, is he talking about the case of nichse ager? So let's say, in other words, again, you had these nichse ager, you had a mechitza around it, there was a mechitza around it already while the ger was alive, you now, after the ger died, you built a mechitza, you raised up one of the mechitzas and made it taller, and now, let's say, afterwards, one of those existing mechitzas sank into the ground. Okay. One of those existing mechitzas sank into the ground, and now all you see above ground is the new mechitza that you built. We know that wouldn't work. Hainer de Yumiya Beira. That amounts to the same thing as Yumiya Beira said. De Amar Yumiya Beira, Amar of Yehuda. Hai man de shoda lifta apila de ara de ger. Suppose that in the land of that belonged to that ger, suppose that there was a crack or a hole in the ground, you threw in a turnip into that ground or threw, planted, whatever. The point is you planted something on the ground over there. Then another Yisrael comes and digs up the dirt a little bit. Rafak actually means hoeing, which is like digging that you do specifically for the purpose of making the ground softer in order to be able to plant it in afterwards. Basra koni kamalai koni. Only the second one will have been koni in the nichsager, not the first one. My timer. Now, why is that? The idna the shada like a shavach, because when you first plant that turnip, at that point you haven't yet created any shvach in the ground because the turnip hasn't started growing yet. Kika shavcha mamela kama shavcha. And then when later on, when the turnip grows, that's not something that you're doing right there. That's something that's happening on its own. So you have not done anything to improve that nichsei ager. Therefore, you're not koina. Only the other guy who came and actually dug the dirt and therefore accomplished something in it, that the second guy. The first guy, all he did was plant a turnip over there. He didn't turn over the dirt. He just found an existing hole in the ground and planted a turnip in there. So we're saying that the maisa that he does of putting in the turnip is not considered a maisa of improving the land, because not actually accomplishing anything at that point. The turnip hasn't started growing yet. You just put it in the ground. It takes time for it to develop roots and start growing. And by the time it starts growing, it's not something that he's doing anything. It's happening on its own. So only the second guy who actually came and did a maisa of hoeing the ground over there a little bit is the one who's going to be koine. So. No, but that doesn't matter. The fact that he softened up the dirt, making it that now you could plant something over there, that's considered a maisa, a gufa karka. So by the same logic, yes, if you built a mechitza on top of a mechitza, of course it shouldn't work. Same idea. At the time you built that mechitza, we said Rav Chista says that doesn't work. Later on, the first mechitza sank into the ground and all you have left is the second one. Okay, but that's memela. That's not something that you accomplished. That's something that happened on its own. So of course it's not going to be koina. What's Rabbi Baba Chana asking? No. The fact that you make it hook of the deer. No. The Elul Inyan Shabbos. So are you asking regarding Shabbos? Is Rabbi Baba Chana asking about the case where, let's say, so again, you build Mechitza on Al Gabi Mechitza before Shabbos. Then on Shabbos itself, the bottom part of the wall sank into the ground and all you have left is the new part that you built. So the question is, does that work? We know what the din is. Have a Mechitza on Nasa B'Shabbos. We know that's considered a mechitza that was made on Shabbos. V'tanya, and we learned it at Braisa, we learned this a few days ago. Kol mechitza hanasa b'Shabbos, bein b'shegig, bein b'mezid, shema mechitza. So yeah, it counts as a mechitza. So therefore, yes. So in other words, that so now you could say, in other words, according to Rav Sheshes, up until this point, the new mechitza that you built will not have made it hukaf l'dira. But now in the middle of Shabbos, now suddenly that mechitza has an actual use, because without it, you wouldn't have any wall on that side at all. So sure, evidently we're saying that it's considered a mechitza. And you No, but that's because for Shabbos you don't need a maisa. For Shabbos, all you need is that they're all walls. What we're saying is, even if a wall was created on Shabbos, whether b'shogeg, whether b'mezid, so whether the person didn't know you're not allowed to put up a wall on Shabbos. No. We're saying in all cases where a wall comes into existence on Shabbos, even if you put it up deliberately, it's still considered a wall as far as Hilchos Shabbos. We had this topic before. We had it a few days ago in connection with Pasei Beirois about the question of what happens if the water had previously dried up and then new water came into the well on Shabbos, where the Pasei Beirois only work because of the well, because of the water that's inside them. We also talked about it we said for a fact you have to have water in there, otherwise no water, no mechitzas. No, that's a different matter. That's true, right. Right. But the point is, in other words, we did talk about that idea over there of the mechitzas, because now in effect the mechitzas are remade on Shabbos now that there's water over there. We also talked about it in Shabbos in connection with the case over there where you had boats that were connected together and then got separated and then got retied together, whether you're allowed to carry from one to the other. So in this case you have a
mechitzah. We never had a case of a mechitza. It's not comparable to other cases.
In Shabbos, actually, we talked about boats. Fine. I mean, there it's considered a mechitza because the question is whether the boats are tied together and they're one mechitza. But when we had it a few days ago, when we had it on Daf Chof, it actually was about mechitzas, because there we were talking about pasei berois, where we're saying pasei berois work as by being by by being mechitzes, at least on a daraisa level, and the Chachamim therefore allowed them also for wells. But we said only when there's a well in there, no well, no mechitzes. So in effect, we talked about if the water dried up, then these same passim, even though they're still there, are not considered mechitzes. And now when the water was, now when the well was refilled, when it rained or whatever, then now you have, in effect, the mechitzes were recreated, even though they were physically there all along, but before they didn't count as mechitzes, la halacha, and now they do. So now we're talking
similar but that, kind of... that was because it was a well, and the Rabbanim wanted to allow the animals to drink.
Yeah, but the principle is still the same thing. The principle is that we're saying mechitza hanasis b'shabbos shma mechitza. We're saying it can count as a valid mechitza. And remember, after all, the chachamim can't be matir something that's also in a Torah. If we were to say that a mechitza that's made on Shabbos is not considered a mechitza, then it would mean, in other words, when the well was refilled over there, the fact is you didn't have mechitzas. Now also you wouldn't count them as mechitzas for the rest of that Shabbos. The fact that it is allowed shows that so that's what we discussed over there. And now also we're saying, so it is considered a mechitza. So sure, here especially when we're talking only a din rabbanon, then yeah, we should say it's a valid mechitza. The fact that so now the old mechitza sank into the ground, all you have left is the new mechitza. Good. However, the Gemara
why it's not considered bone, and bone is aser on
because
Shabbos.
Because you didn't build anything on Shabbos. Because you didn't
you
do anything.
It. San-
what?
You
didn't
you
build anything
it.
On Shabbos. You what?
You put it on Shabbos.
No, you didn't put it on Shabbos. You built this extra wall on top of the existing wall before Shabbos. Now, on Shabbos, the old wall sank into the ground, and all you have left is the new wall. That's mechitza anasas for Shabbos. But the Gemara says, lav itman Allah. Wasn't there said about that, Amr of Nachman, lashonu ala lizrik ava lataltal also. That Rav Nachman says it's not so simple. When we say mechitza anasas for Shabbos, shma mechitza, we mean only lachumra, that the area enclosed by those mechitzas is considered a reshus ha-yachid on a daraisa level, and therefore if you throw or carry something into there from a reshus ha-rabim, you're going to be chayev, but to actually carry within that enclosure would still be also midrabanon. So wouldn't it be the same problem over here? The whole thing we're talking about over here is drabanon, whether the area is considered hukaf ladira or not. Based on Rav Nachman's rule, we would say it's not good. The answer is no. Ki itmer Rav Nachman amazed itmer. No, because Rav Nachman's din, we said this also on Daf Chof, was only when the wall was built, bemazed on Shabbos. So when the wall was built on Shabbos, bemazed, the person knew it's Shabbos. You're not allowed to build walls, and he went and did it anyway. There, we're going to say that we're not going to allow him on that basis to carry in that area, lachumra. But when the wall was made in any of the other cases, b'shoigig or b'onus or what have you, and here it's b'onus because you yourself didn't do anything, the other wall just sank into the ground, then even Rav Nachman would agree that the new wall is now considered a valid wall, and yes, therefore you could carry in this area on Shabbos. Okay. Getting back to the matter of the nichse ager, the Gemara mentions how he itzad of the mechitza agave mechitza menichse ager. One time there was a situation like that. There were nichse ager. A woman came along and built a mechitza on top of an existing mechitza. Also, who gavra rofak bapurta. Meanwhile, then another guy came and hoed the ground a little bit and soften it up. Also, the kamei Rav Nachman. So the case came to Rav Nachman. Which one now owns the land? Oikma biyode, and Rav Nachman is established it in the second person's hand. The second person is the one who was koine. Also, ihi v'katzavcha kamei. So she was coming and yelling and complaining to Rav Nachman. Haytochen, I built a wall over there. So he says to her, my avid loch, like machzikist kine machzikinji. So what can I do for you? You weren't machzik in the way that people are supposed to be machzik. Your new wall didn't accomplish anything that wasn't there before, because again, there was already a wall there, and the fact that you added another wall and the fact that you made it people, it's going to be harder for people to climb in or whatever, is neither here nor there. So I'm sorry, you didn't do a proper chazaka. The other guy did do a proper chazaka, therefore he was kind. Maybe he was learning, maybe not, I don't know. Okay. All right. Getting back to the matter of Kaipif now. Karpif base sholosh v'kiraboy base saw. Let's say you have a karpif that was 3 saw in size. So again, it's too large to be able to carry in unless it was hukaf ladira. But now what happened is you put a roof over one base saw in it. So now you have one base saw of it which is under a roof and 2 base saw which are not. So Rava Omar Aver Kiruye Miyatra, Rava says, that the area that was covered over with the covering is still, it still is counted with the other. So you still miyatri means it increases the area. Therefore, in other words, it's still considered. You have full three saw that are not hokaf ladira. So therefore, no good. Reb Zera says that no, it's not. It we say p'tikra yerid v'soisim. We say that area that's covered over by the roof is considered as though it has a wall on its open side that faces the other two saw, and therefore, in effect, now you have two areas: one of one saw and one of two saw, and the other one is two saw, and therefore you're able to carry in both of them. No, it doesn't matter. Well, it has to be 10 tefachim tall. But in other words, here's the scenario over here. So it doesn't matter how high it is. P'tikra yerid v'soisim applies no matter how tall it is. Yeah, we learned in the first perek about a koda, for example. A koda can be as much as 20 amas high, and we still say one possibility is a koda mishum b'chitza, and it works on the grounds of p'tikra yerid v'soisim. Yeah. So
that makes the whole place.
So what Reb Zera is saying is that according to the girsa we have in front of us, miyatroi, what it amounts to is that we're saying you ignore that area under that covering, under that roof. Now you just look at the rest of the area. So is the rest of the area more than base sasayim? If it's more than base sasayim, it's still no good. If it's base sasayim or less, then you're good. There is a different girsa of the Rishonim, including the Rambam, not miyatroi, but matiroi, that the question would be, whether we say that area is matiroi, that maybe we say that is now considered a dira, and therefore we say that now maybe it's matir the whole area, a hook of a dira, right? Okay. So Rava says yes, and Reb Zera says no. Okay. So I ain't have a kiruri miyatri. So the Gemara says lema Rava and Reb Zera were plugged to the Rabbi Shmuel kamifigi. Do we have to say that Rava and Reb Zera have the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel regarding a matter involving p'tikra yerid v'soisim? And in that case, you'd have to ask why are they repeating the machlokas? The itma, because we have a discussion like this. Achsadra babika. What happens if you have an achsadra in the middle of a valley? So a valley has no walls around it; it's just a flat, open area. And you have an achsadra in the middle of it. Rashi learns that the achsadra has no walls. It's just four posts stuck into the ground and a roof on top of them. Achsadra, it actually comes from a Greek word that means like a porch in front of a house or something. So in this case, Rashi understands that the achsadra over here has no walls at all. It's just four posts in the corners and a roof on top. So the question is, are you allowed to carry under that? Rav Amma Mutal Batal to Bakula. So Rav says you're allowed to carry in the whole thing. Or Shmuel Amma Ein Batal and El Badal Amas. Shmuel says it's still considered like a camelus and you're only allowed to carry up to four Amas in it. So Rav Amma Mutal Batal to Bakula Amrin and P'tikri Yerid V'soisim. Because we say that the edge of the roof comes down and makes, in effect, a virtual wall, which is Allah. This concept of P'tikri Yerid V'soisim is one of the halachas l'moshim is Sinai involving mechitzis. We learned near the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Dalet that we said Shi'urin Chatzitzin or Mechitzin halacha l'moshim is Sinai. We said Mechitzin includes the concepts, for example, of Lavud and Good Asik and Good Achis and whatever. And then P'tikri Yerid V'soisim is also one of those. So therefore, that works. So you have a tikra coming down on all four sides, and therefore you have four walls now. Because he says in this kind of case, no, he obviously agrees with the concept of p'tikra yerid v'soisim. It's halacha l'moshim sinai. But he says it doesn't apply in this case. It doesn't apply in this case where there's no walls at all. So Tosfos brings over here that now we're going to have this discussion later in the Masechta as well. We're going to have this discussion on Daf Tzadik Dalad. So Rashi over there explains, and Tosfos brings it over here, that if there's no mechitzas at all, then Shmuel holds you don't say p'tikra yerid v'soisim. If you had at least one mechitza, then Shmuel would agree we would say that. But over here, you have no mechitzas at all because you have it's just four posts in the corners. No. So if you would close up one side of the sachsadra with an actual wall, well, in other words, enough something that would be enough to be considered a wall in halacha, at least 10 tefachim from the ground up, then it would work, and then we would say p'tikra yerid v'soisim on the other three sides, but not when there's no walls at all. Tosfos actually disagrees with Rashi on that and says that no, Shmuel would say that what it is Rav would, everybody would agree. Tosfos says that if there's only two walls, then you're not going to say p'tikra yerid v'soisim, even according to Rav. Only when you have three walls or three walls and a little bit of the fourth. So sorry, if you have so um, if if you have If you have only three walls, that would be when the machlokas is. Tosfos learns that an achsadra generally has three walls. So Rav Shmuel would agree, if you have full three walls and the beginning of a fourth wall, then we would say pitik or yod v'sosim on the fourth side. But not when you only have, not when you have zero walls, like in this case, or even when you have three walls, then Rav would say that's fine. Tosfos says that Rav might even say it's fine with two mechitzes, but Shmuel, in this picture, you have three and a little bit of the fourth. So that would be fine, even according to Shmuel. But if you had only exactly three, or you had two, then Rav would say that it's fine, but Shmuel would say it's not. Okay. So anyway, so it sounds like Rava and Rav Zera have the same machlokas about whether we say Pitiku Yod Vesosim in this case, as far as the one base saw. The answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. If the area, the one base saw that you covered over of the karpif has a flat roof like an achsadra, hachinami, then indeed it would be the same machlokas, or at least we would say, given in Hilchas Shabbos and in general in Issur v'Heter, usually the halacha is like Rav versus Shmuel. Here it is like that also. So we do say pitikur yod v'sosim, even if there's no walls according to Rashi or only two walls according to Tosfos. So over here you have, in this case over here, you have three walls because you have the three, you put this kirui at one end of the, you have this area, which is covered with a wall, is at one end of the karpif, and you have three walls of the karpif. It goes over, right. So therefore, if we say like Rav, and even again, according to Tosfos, Shmuel would require the beginning of a fourth wall, Rav wouldn't. So therefore, yes, both Rava and Rav Zera would say, sure, Pitik Yod Vesosim, and there's no problem. Yes, we would say, in other words, that we consider this as separate. Now we look at this part over here and see if it's based on Sayim or not. Ki pligi hochab my skinan davidok of the ki urzila, but the machlokas Rava and Rav Zera would actually be if the wall of this area, if not the wall, if this roof of this area that you enclose is actually on an angle like that, like an awning. Urzila, actually, the word urzila means something secondary, sort of. You have sometimes the Gemara actually uses in some places the word urzila to mean like a baby animal, which like leans on its mother. But basically, the basic meaning of urzila is like something like a lean-to, like something that leans against the main building. So here you have, if you built it like that, then you have the question, do we say pitikra yod resosim? There's no pitikra, really. It doesn't have, the reason why pitikra yod resosim is because you can say, you have a roof over here, the edge of it is perpendicular to the ground, so therefore you can consider as though it comes down. Here, when it comes down on an angle, the edge of it is not perpendicular to the ground, the edge of it is also on an angle. Well, that's the question. Are you gaining anything from it? According to... Well, no. It is covering. It's just covering on an angle. That's all you have is. You still have the area underneath. You still have the area underneath that is covered over. Or... No. It's like this. You can see over here. You still have a full base saw underneath it that you can have. You can use when it's raining or whatever. But the roof itself is on an angle, like the roofs of houses you have around here, for example. It's a big angle. So that's the question. Is it Yod Vesosim or not? No. It doesn't have to physically come down. We're saying we consider as though the edge of the roof comes down and creates a wall over there. Well, no, because it doesn't come all the way down to the ground. I mean, it's still more than 10 tefachim off the ground. Fine. No, that's the problem. That's that end that we're talking about, whether it's Yod Vesosim. Because the problem is that end over here, you have the roof is going like this. So the end of it is not the end like this. You have a flat roof. You have the end of that flat roof is at a 90 degree angle to the ground. So you can consider as though it's coming down. Here you have the end of this roof that goes like this. The end of it also goes like this. So it's not at a 90 degree angle to the ground. So the question is, does it work or not? And that's where you would have rubber. Do we consider, not to consider whether it's actually a saw or not, to consider is that base saw considered separate from the other base sasayim? Where therefore we would say that now you look at the remaining area and see whether it's base sasayim or not. Or again, according to the Rambam, the question would be whether we say that now it's considered that you have a dira over there. So that's where you would have the machlokas of Rava and Rav Zera, whether it works or not. Amar Rav Zera, Umadina. Now Rav Zera says there is a case that I will agree with Rava with, If you have a karpif, which the one end of the karpif is next to a chotzer, and the wall between them fell down, so now you have looking, let's say the karpif is narrower than the chotzer, so that when you look from the karpif towards the chotzer, you don't see any walls on that side, then sha'osir, then it would be osir to, then it would be osir to carry in that karpif. The scenario Rashi explains is the karpif itself was beis sasayim, so it would have been fine to carry in, but now that the wall between it and the chotzer broke, and now you have, there's nothing left of that wall visible, that's visible from the karpif, now the area of the karpif includes the area of the chotzer. Now the whole area is beis sasayim. Therefore, it's no good. You have like this. You have the karpif and the chotzer form like a T. The chotzer is wider on both sides. The karpif is over here. So up until now, the karpif was fine because it's beis sasayim and you were allowed to carry in it. And it walls all around it, as usual for a karpif. But now you have, up until now, there was a fourth wall over here between the karpif and the chotzer. That wall fell down. When you stand in the chotzer and look towards the karpif, you still have, as we've learned before, you have what's called gifufim. You have partial walls on both sides, right? Because you have the walls that form the bars of the T. But when you look from the other direction, when you look from the karpif towards the chotzer, you don't see any walls on that side. So now what you have in effect, Reb Zeira, is now you have the area of the chotzer joins now to the area of the karpif. And you have a total area more than beis sasayim. Well, and the wall fell down. Yeah. Okay.
That should be good.
Yeah. So, with the previous thing, by the way, as far as ki urzila, I forgot to mention, Tosfos has a different understanding of it. That if it was made ki achsadra, again, Tosfos learns that an achsadra normally has three walls. So therefore, Tosfos says not the gear says not ki urzila, but ki arsila. Arsila, Tosfos explains, means like a hammock. So Rashi's scenario where it had only four pillars, Tosfos compares that to a hammock, like it just hangs off the ground and there's not much really underneath it. So that would be where you'd have the machlokes of Rabba and Reb Zeira, of Rava and Reb Zeira, whether it works or not. Okay. So Reb Zeira said, yeah. So it's either Urzila, which means a pitched roof, a roof on an angle, or Arsila, which means like a hammock. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So Reb Zeira says, "Umedina b'karpif shenifrats b'mloy l'chotzer." I agree that if a karpif is completely broken open to a chotzer, sha'osir, now it will be osir to carry in that karpif because now the total area is more than beis sasayim. Because the problem is that now the total area of the karpif was not originally hukaf l'dira, and now it's broken open into a chotzer, and now the total area is more than beis sasayim. The chotzer was hukaf l'dira, the karpif was not. So that's the question. Maskif l'Rabbi Yosef, achi aver hamutur loy oisroi. So Rabbi Yosef says, what do you mean? The chotzer, to begin with, you were allowed to carry between the chotzer and the karpif, like Reb Shimon, meaning we've learned before, and we're going to learn again several times in our Masechta, that Reb Shimon holds that the whole concept of Erev Chatzeres that you need is only in order to be able to carry things between the house and the chotzer, or between the house and the karpif, or whatever. But if you have a keli that at the beginning of Shabbos was in a chotzer, you're allowed to carry it to a karpif, or to a roof, or to another chotzer, even if there's no Erev between them. Now, so in effect, over here you have, there was no Eruv between the Karpif and the Chotzer, because the Karpif itself is not used Ladira, so there was nobody to make an Eruv with. But now you have the Chotzer itself, you were allowed all along, according to Reb Shimon, you would have been allowed, if there's a doorway between them, let's say, you would have been allowed to carry things between the Chotzer and the Karpif if they started out in the Chotzer or in the Karpif before Shabbos, yeah. So it is mutter to it. So now you're going to say Oisroi. So how can that now answer it just because one is completely broken open into the other? Again, as far as the problem that it's larger, like you said, the Chotzer is Mukaf Ladira, as far as you're going to say it's Nifrats Lamakam Ha'asuloi, what do you mean? It's not a makam ha'asulai. No. So the point is that the whole area is not now considered mukaf ladira because only the chotzer is. The karpif is still considered not mukaf ladira. But the question is, the question is that why should the chotzer count now towards the area of the karpif and make it more than beis sasayim when all along you were allowed to carry between the chotzer and the karpif anyway? Amalei Abaye Kiman Kereb Shimon. So Abaye says, so who are you asking? You're asking specifically according to Reb Shimon, because according to the Chachamim, that would not be the case. To carry between the Chotzer and the Karpif, you would have needed an Eruv between them in the first place, and you didn't have that. Even according to Reb Shimon, you can argue like this. You have, though, there's the area where the mechitzas were. Meaning, if the Karpif itself was exactly based Sasayim, and now you have, so there was an area where previously the wall between it and the chotzer was standing. Now that wall collapsed. So that area now counts towards the area of the Karpif. That narrow strip over there, let's say it was an amma wide and however many ammas long, that now counts towards the area of the Karpif. So even according to Reb Shimon. So therefore, now in effect, now it's more than Beis Sasayim. So therefore, so forget about the fact that you're right. You're not going to count the chotzer as an extension of the Karpif, but you have to count that place where the wall was as an extension of the Karpif. And now you're more than Beis Sasayim. No, so again, if you have the whole wall fell down. If there were gifufim left, then you'd be fine, but there aren't. The point is, when you're standing in the Karpif and looking towards the Chotzer, you don't see any walls on that fourth side. Yeah. When you're looking towards the Chotzer, all you see is wall. You see a wall behind you, and you see walls next to you. You do not see any wall in front of you until you get to the back side of the Chotzer. But that's, yeah. And the Amar of Chista, as in fact of Chista says, Karpif shenifretz b'maloy l'chotzer, in this case over here, where a Karpif is completely broken open into a chotzer, chotzer muteres for Karpif aser. Then the chotzer remains muter to carry in, but the Karpif is aser. Chotzer my time, So Abaya says, so you see from what Rav Chista is saying that you're not allowed to carry in the Karpif. Now, why would that be? Even according to Rav Shimon, because now the Karpif is bigger than Beis Sasayim, because now you have the area where the wall was, and now that counts. And now you have more than 5,000 square amas. Tosfos, by the way, mentions in this connection, wouldn't you have a different problem anyway? Now you have the Karpif maybe is now more than twice as long as it's wide. And we've learned before that even if it's 5,000 square amas, it still can't be. We said, according to Rabbi Yossi, we said the halacha was like Rabbi Yossi, that it still can't be more than 100 amas long. So now if you count the chotzer towards it, you may well have that. So Tosfos says, actually, the scenario we may be talking about is where it's 10 amas wide at the point where it meets the chotzer, but then it widens out. It's shaped sort of like a trapezoid, like almost like a triangle, where it's narrower at the end that joins the chotzer, and then it widens out further out, away from the chotzer. So therefore, what you have is that The end closer to the chotzer. Tosfos points out, because look, if the breach was wider than 10 amos, the chotzer would also be also. We have to be talking about that the breach is narrower than 10 amos in order for the chotzer to still be mutter to carry in. Now, if you're going to do that, how would you have a karpif more than base sasayim, where one end of it is narrower than 10 amos? In order for that to work, you would have to have that the karpif was 500 amos long, and 500 by 10, nobody allows you to carry in. Rabbi Yossi would not allow you to carry in, and we said the halachas like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, Tosfos explains that what it means is the end of the Karpif, where it joins the Chotzer, is 10 amas wide or narrower. But then it widens out as it goes further away from the Chotzer, and by the time you get to the other end of the Karpif, you know, it's 100 or however many amas wide, and therefore, yeah. No, there's no picture over here, but it's easy enough to imagine it. Yeah. Okay. So, the question is then, chotzer my timer, so why would you be mutter still to carry in the chotzer? The reason is, b'pashtus de isla difufi, the reason is because, again, when you stand in the chotzer and look towards the Karpif, you still see the partial walls on both sides. Because again, you have the chotzer is narrower, the chotzer is wider rather than the Karpif, and therefore you have, from the point of the view of the chotzer, you look towards the Karpif, you see wall on this side, wall on this side, and therefore that's why it would be mutter, as long as, again, of course, as long as the breach is less than 10 amas. Is this 10 amas or less? The problem with that is, how can you say a blanket statement that the chotzer is always mutter to carry in? You could very well have the other way around. You can just as well have where the chotzer is narrower than the Karpif, and there you have the other way around. When you stand in the chotzer and look out, you don't see walls, you don't see gifufim on that side. So how can we say as a blanket statement you're allowed to carry in the chotzer? Evidently, it must be that we are talking according to the Bshimen. It's not a matter of it being a problem of one reshus open into another, because again, according to the Bshimen, anyway, you're allowed to carry between the Karpif and the Chotzer on Shabbos, as long as the Keli was in the Karpif or in the Chotzer before Shabbos. No, the question is that the problem is it larger than Beis Sasayim? So again, we're going to say in either case, the chotzer is not going to be considered an extension of the kibbutz. We're still going to say that the chotzer is allowed to carry in, because we're still going to say that the chotzer is allowed to carry in. So we're not talking about the area of the chotzer being added to the area of the kibbutz. We're just talking about the area of the wall, where the wall was being added to the area of the kibbutz, and therefore you're beyond 5,000, and therefore that's the problem. So had it been that even with that area of the wall, the Karpif is still below Beis Sasayim, then you'd be good. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara tells another case in this connection. Hahu Bustana, there was an orchard with trees in it, and we've learned before that trees, that an area with trees can be considered Mukaf Ladira. To have a samach l'gudna the guda da'apadna, it was next to the wall of a mansion. So now what happened was, Rashi explains that the area was originally not hukaf ladira, so therefore you would have a problem. What they did is, when they built the mansion, they meant the wall of the mansion where it faces towards the orchard should serve double duty. It should serve as a wall of the mansion. It should also serve as the fourth wall of the Karpif, and therefore now make it Mukaf Ladira. So here. Yeah, no, so in other words, here you have. So now this area, the wall of the house itself is the fourth wall of the garden, and you walk out from the house into the orchard, whatever. So therefore, it's good. So therefore, it's Hukaf Ladira. The problem was, Nafal Ashisa Braisa Da'apadna, the outer wall of the mansion fell down. Now you have, so now the mansion looked like one of these dollhouses where you open it up and you can see the entire inside, and the entire inside of it is facing towards the orchard. You have no more wall on that side to be a fourth wall. The wall that faces towards the orchard, here, yeah. Part of the house, yeah. So now the wall that faces towards the orchard fell down. So now you have the inside of the house is directly open to the orchard. So the Bibi thought to say, no problem, you can just rely on the inner wall, meaning you have the other wall on the other side of the house, further away from the garden. That should still count as the fourth wall. But a papi says no. Because you come from muloi, from the ones that are cut off, therefore you say things that are cut off, meaning that are meaningless. Muloi means, in other words, so Rabibi Bar Abaya. He's descended from Eli. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah and in Yevamos that the descendants of Eli, we know there was a severe punishment that Shmuel said a nevuah on them, that they're among others, that they're going to die young as a punishment for what Eli's sons were doing in the Mishkan over there. So the Gemara mentions there in Rosh Hashanah that there were even a long time later, there were the people of this, the men of this family were dying very young, unless they were Oisik and Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. And then we said we had Rabba and Abaya were from that family, and Rabba was Oisik Batorah and he lived till 40, and Abaya was Oisik Batorah of Gemilas Chasadim and he lived until 60. So the Papi is saying to the Bibi, you're from that family also, of these people who are cut off, and therefore you're saying something cut off and meaningless. Now, how could he insult him like that? So the Shalach Kaddish actually says what he means is, he's telling him, given that you have this problem with your family, that unless they're Oisik Batorah of Gemilas Chasadim, they're not going to live long, make sure you're Oisik Batorah properly. Don't slack off and just say things that don't really make sense, Alpi Torah. Make sure what you're saying is properly Alpi Torah, in order that you'll taka be able to live long. Okay, so what does it mean? So he says that doesn't work. Hanach mechitza l'gavoy avidan lebroi lo avidan. Because the wall that you're talking about, the far wall of the mansion, was never meant for the ginner. It was meant for the inside of the house. Therefore, it can't be counted as a wall that would make this orchard hukaf ladira. So therefore, it doesn't work. Because you still have the orchard itself is more than Beis Sasayim. When we talked about before, the area that's covered up, that would only be if you have less than Beis Sasayim. Anyway, Tosafos has a different understanding of the scenario over here, that They made a – that it wasn't that – it wasn't. We're not talking about using the actual wall of the mansion itself. We're talking about they built a wall four tefachim away from the – or more away from the mansion, which we learned on Omer Aleph ought to be good. Now the problem is that wall fell down. The question is, can we still consider, since it was mutter before on the basis of that wall, maybe it should continue to be mutter on the basis of the walls of the mansion? So in other words, nothing of the mansion itself fell down, according to Tosfos, just this extra wall that they had put up four tefachim away from the wall of the mansion. On Shabbos, and so since it was mutter before, says yes. So we would say that, or not even. It could be even after Shabbos. Once it was hukaf ladira, we could argue that even if the wall that makes it hukaf ladira fell down, nevertheless it should still be mutter. And Rav Papi tells him it's not so. It has to be the wall still has to actually be there. Okay. Good. Shkayach, everyone.